Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast with me, Robin, and Alex and Martin. Hello, chaps. Wave hello to the audience.
Hello, audience. We are waving.
Yes.
Our listeners are not here against our will.
Today, folks, we shall be talking about one of our favourite topics, one we haven't discussed necessarily for a while, actually. UFOs, or UAPs, as I think they are now officially known in the United States of. And I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. Recent presidential bombshells. That was an unintended slip of the tongue.
Oh.
Presidents have been dropping bombs in the UFO arena recently, as well as other arenas. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it light. We're going to talk about aliens. Yes. Not the movie, the concept, the thing, the people. Oh, they're not people.
Please come and save us, aliens. Please.
From ourselves. But we shall also be responding to your comments on recent episodes. And before that, we shall be sharing things that we learned this week. But, lads, it's been a while since I've seen you both. So, how are you, Martin?
I'm good. I'm a tiny bit nasally. So, apologies if anyone's thinking, you know, that guy sounds like he's underwater. But other than that, I'm pretty good. Like, the sun decided to show itself today, which was something.
Oh, not up here.
First time this year. Well, one of the only times.
Yeah, it feels
year.
Like the first time, doesn't it? Yeah.
That was good. Just thinking, yeah, I mean, other than what's going on in the world, things are pretty good. I mean, obviously, I know you guys keep up with the news and what's going on. How much of it affects your daily mood and how you feel? Like, do you let it? Has that changed over time? Like, is there apathy at this stage? I mean, what's the mood with your mood?
Wow, that's a big question.
That is a big question.
That's a deep one. Martin likes to go deep, folks, and he likes to go there quickly.
Absolutely.
I think the news has just made Robin, like, his mind has become like even dirtier than it already was. Any filter that Robin once had is now quickly wearing off. And the news is to blame, I think, you know. I don't know. I guess it's kind of like, I don't know if this is the same for you, but it's just exhausting, isn't it? It's like anytime you see it, it's like, that's just a standard news story now. This once in a generation event is happening on a daily basis. Like, and I still have to go to work. So, I mean, this is, I just become kind of numb to it.
Yeah, perspective changes, doesn't it? And you do, work in particular feels demotivational on some days when you think, why?
Yeah.
Why bother? And then you remember bills and you're like, okay, that's why. And sometimes if you're lucky, you have a good day at work and you're like, yeah, I enjoy what I do. And that's always nice. Let me know how that feels, fellas. But before we get stuck into things, it's worth noting that that's one of the reasons I at least would like to talk about what we're talking about today, because I think any other year when a president said what the presidents have just said about UFOs, headlines, right? Mm. That is the news for at least the next month.
Yeah, at least in certain papers.
that's true. I feel like this has kind of slipped under the radar, as it were. Not even that, just kind of belly flopped into a pool and nobody cares. Mm. So, but we care. So let's talk about it. So what did you
learn? Oh, yeah. Could you have imagined if this had happened back in the day, back on Uncovered? Like, gosh, this would have been mad. That would have been the easiest month of content ever.
Yeah. We would have milked it for all it was worth. But yeah, what did you learn this week, Alex?
So I've got a couple of animal facts that I'd like to share. So I've actually got two this week. But I brought two because one of them is a little bit suspect, may not be entirely true.
You come for the facts, folks. You stay for the laughs.
Well, there's an interesting. It's like a half truth. It might be true, but there's a half truth at most. And that fact is that Steve Irwin helped take care of Charles Darwin's pet Galapagos turtle, Harriet, who died in June 23rd, 2006, at the age of 175 years old.
I didn't know Steve Irwin was old.
Australia Zoo. no, sadly not. Sadly not. No. But
wow.
Yeah. But now, I mean, there is a little bit of suspect to this story, though, because apparently Charles Darwin never actually took home any tortoises from the Galapagos. But this could have been like one of his assistants, and it could have belonged to him at a later date. So it may not be entirely true, but interesting, and gives you a like, this tortoise was definitely 175 years old. So the things it must have seen.
And it was from the Galapagos as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be, someone could be like, oh, the turtle from the Galapagos, that's a Darwin turtle, and named it. And then someone's gone,
possibly,
that's Darwin's turtle.
Possibly,
potentially how that could happen. But I think we'll go with the fact that it was Charles Darwin's personal pet turtle.
Yeah.
I think so.
I wonder.
The tortoise. Tortoise, was it?
Tortoise, yeah.
Oh, yeah, tortoise has got the feet, called, and turtles Harriet have the flippers, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was good to remember.
Unless you're American.
I wonder what kind of animals that old, what their attitudes would be like if they could speak, you know, like you say, the things they've seen, if you could ask them what they'd say. Mm. You know,
what's the best thing you've ever seen, yeah.
Yeah. Or what do you think of the Galapagos now? And they're like, go back where you came from, human.
It's just a crotchety old racist, yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I wonder if they get grumpy earlier than, or later than old people do here. Like, it's all relative. Like, they don't get to 80, 75 and then go, oh, screw this. They have to get to 120 before that happens. I wonder.
Yeah, at what age do they go full Harrison Ford? That's the question.
At what age are they just like, I'm too old for this shit.
Exactly.
I can't be dealing with this. Yeah. I'm just going to go back into my shell.
Yeah. I wish, that is something, when it comes to Mother Nature and evolution, I think being able to retreat into your own shell is, I'm jealous of that. That's a cool thing to be able to do.
Get a big jacket, one of those like big kind of, just giant wrap things. A duvet around yourself.
Robert. Like the world is not enough on Pierce Brosnan's safety thing when he's skiing.
I haven't seen that one.
He pulls a string. Martin, James, you remember this? Bond. He pulls a string on his jacket, and then this big inflatable sphere forms around him.
Yeah.
Really useful in most circumstances, I'm sure.
Yes. I mean, what you don't want to be doing is going through your ice palace, accidentally pulling the cord, and
just
being stranded.
You're wearing your jacket, you're tired, you get home from work, you flop on the bed, accidentally pull the cord. On the bed. Exactly. Yeah. Disastrous. That's always the mark, I think, incidentally. For me, the mark of a good and a lesser Bond film, I'm not going to say bad, I'm going to say lesser Bond film, is when they introduce the gadgets. If there's a gadget where you think, this has no use except under one circumstance, and then they use it almost straight away, then you're like, this is a lesser Bond. And I love the words not enough, by the way, but that's the marker, that's the clue. When there's a gadget, you're like, there's only one use for that gadget.
And then they just happens to use it.
Yeah, well, the gadgets, the ones with the gadgets where you think, I don't know how he's going to use that, that's really good. Except, I suppose, arguably, the ejector seat in Goldfinger. But
yeah, and in fact, there are quite a few gadgets where it's a single-use item for one purpose only. That's all part of the fun.
As a side note, I think I'm going to start making a list of like drinking game rules for anyone who's binge watching the Just Interesting podcast. And one of the rules will be anytime one of the hosts brings up James Bond out of nowhere, down your drink.
you must have a favorite James Bond film though, Alex, right?
It's Casino Royale. If I'm ever feeling like good. I want to watch James Bond, I'll just watch Casino Royale. And
we've got him, boys.
That'd be fine. The best one. So there you go.
There you go.
Or Die Another Day, if I want the best one, but from a different end of the spectrum.
Sorry. Casino Royale and then Die Another Day.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Martin, what did you learn this week?
I don't know. It's quite a quick fact, but I learned a little fact about Danny DeVito that I didn't know.
A little fact about a little man.
A little fact about a little man, exactly. And Danny DeVito, so... So, Danny DeVito worked as a beautician at his sister's salon in New Jersey. Now, that is quite a surprising fact in itself.
That is, yeah, yeah.
But then what's more surprising is that one of his sister's friends, one of their family members died, and they asked him to do her like hair and makeup and beauty for the funeral.
Wow.
And as a result of that, Danny DeVito then began working in a morgue as a cosmetologist, styling the hair and the makeup of dead people.
Yeah.
So I thought that image of him doing that. Yeah.
Also, that is doubly funny because if there's anyone who's a massive fan of It's Always Sunny out there, like I am, do you know the bit, Martin?
Yes.
When in the Frank's Little Beauties episode, when there's the mortician guy, and he's like, "Do you bang the dead bodies? You morticians, do you bang the dead bodies?"
Yeah.
Wow.
That episode is horrific. It's just so dark. Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. I never knew that. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I thought,
at his height, both of those things must be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it gives him a more intimate perspective that helps.
Yeah, I guess if someone sat on a chair, you might be like head high. You don't have to like lean down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm. Competitive advantage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Then again, he also became an actor and director. So maybe it wasn't such a good career for him.
No. No, true.
Perhaps. True. Who knows? That's really interesting. Thanks. My fact this week is kind of random, but do you know the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Of course.
And on the inside of it, there's a bunch of inscriptions carved into the stone. There's...
Wait, Robin, can you say this? But can you say it like Nicolas Cage in National Treasure? We're going to go to the Lincoln Memorial.
The Lincoln Memorial. I can't do a Nicolas Cage. Sound was Bill Clinton.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Anyway, there's there's three speeches that they've carved, inscribed into the stone. There's the first inaugural address, the second inaugural address, and the Gettysburg address that he wrote himself, I believe, all of them, and certainly delivered himself. And did you know that in the second inaugural address, there is a typo, in inverted commas, it's not a typo.
Okay.
The word future originally was E instead of F, so it was future, which isn't a thing.
That long ago.
Yeah, and you can see it still there to this day. They tried to fill it in. They filled in the bottom bar on the E, so it looks like an F again, but you can still see it quite clearly if you look. So there you go. And I was looking it up, and because I just thought, well, that must be hard to do because you have to hand, when it was made, you were hand carving stuff in. So how did this happen? And no one knows for sure, but historians have a theory, or at least the park officials who maintain it have theories. They think there's two possibilities. The mason who did all the inscriptions was Ernest C. Bairstow, and he used stencils for the lettering, which again, it seems obvious, but to me, I was like, oh, of course they would use stencils. That's how they keep them all so regular. But they think he may have grabbed an E stencil instead of an F and just like, it was on autopilot, just carved it in, then moved on to the U because he had so many words to do. Or the other possibility is that the architect overseeing the whole thing was just a bit overworked. And when they have to bring proofs of the layout for the stencils on the stone, say, here's the dimensions of the wall we're carving, here's the dimensions of the individual stones that make up the wall, so here's where the letters are going to be placed to fit onto the wall. And it's possible the architect just didn't properly read it. And there was an actual typo, as in someone typed out the letter E instead of F. And the architect was just like, yeah, sure, it's fine. Signed it off. And then that means the mason, Mr. Bairstow, came to it. And he's like, says E here, but
it's about right.
Should be an F, but it's what the boss says. So, okay, let's do it.
So I feel like maybe that happened, but all the way back from like Lincoln. So maybe Lincoln did say it wrong. initially. And everyone since then is just like, I'm not going to question the president. And every step along the way, no one's corrected it.
That sounds very, very much the hierarchies in the Soviet Union.
I don't question your orders.
Yeah. He didn't make a mistake. That's the word is pronounced like that now. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's it. No one ever said the word future until Lincoln mispronounced it. It was always Yucha.
Yeah.
Anyway, so before we get on to other presidents, more recent presidents, and what they've been saying, I'd just like to say a massive thank you to all of our lovely listeners and watchers on the YouTube, and in particular our Patreon supporters and YouTube members, who are the most wonderful people. And if I may say particular thanks to Amy Licious, Cindy Hafner, Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, John Baker, Janie, Henny Ruffle, Ahmad, Peaceward, A Filthy Casual, and Simon Workman. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Righty-ho then. Are you ready to talk about aliens?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Aliens. Was it them? I'm not saying it was aliens, but it's aliens. Oh, nice, Alex. Nice. For those of you listening to us, Alex has just done some alien emoji on his camera, which is really cool that he could do that. So big. Well, what would be big news, I think, any other time? Let's just do a quick roundup of what happened. Mm. On February the 14th, I think it was, Valentine's Day, there was an interview on the Brian Tyler Cohen, I think it was, podcast with Barack Obama, former president from 2008 to 2016, right? And on that podcast, he said, and I'll read the transcript here. So Brian Tyler Cohen asked him, are aliens real? And Barack Obama said, they're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it? And Brian Tyler Cohen says, Area 51? And Barack Obama says, Area 51. There's no underground facility unless there's this enormous conspiracy and they hid it from the President of the United States. And then they laugh. Mm-hmm. So obviously from this whole interview, which covered many things, including some serious topics, that was the headline. And then some reporters, I think, was it a couple of days later, or maybe the same day, asked Trump about it on Air Force One, and Trump's response was interesting. I don't know if you want to describe his response, either of you, or I can do it.
I don't have the transcript, but he said basically something like, well, that's confidential, he shouldn't have said that. He's not meant to be doing that.
Yeah, strange thing to say.
Police should arrest him. He's not meant to be disclosing that.
I can't tell the public about the aliens.
And then he did a Truth Social post on February the 19th saying that I want to get the official quote. I mean, it's official because it comes from the president's Twitter account or Truth Social account, but in terms of the language, it's not particularly official. But it was.
It's not good. It's official. It's poorly worded. It's official.
Based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, and unidentified flying objects, and any and all other information connected to those highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters. So that was my terrible Trump impression.
Donald Trump into Randy Marsh and South Park.
Yeah, a bit South Park, wasn't it?
Those helicopters.
February the 19th. That was a couple of weeks ago. He officially ordered or directed every government department that is relevant to it to release the UFO files. So, fellas.
He says these things and then nothing happens every time.
So many, well, okay, we can start with that. I was going to comment on that, but yeah, we can start with that. Start backwards, or go backwards rather. Start at the end. Do you think the UFO files will be seen in their entirety? Go for it.
No. Because he's too lazy to release the files. He probably won't even get around to telling someone to do it. He wants the snapshot, the popular opinion of people going, "Ooh, Donald Trump, he's going to release it just as he's going to release the Epstein files," and of course he's not going to do it. He might last minute it could come to the midterms, see he's doing badly, and say, you know, what do my base want? What do the extremes of my base want? Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, yeah, they want a little bit of a throw them a bone about UFO files. Well, isn't Donald Trump great and transparent? So I think he can use it as like a, it's not much of a bargaining tool, is it, with everything that's going on, but he could potentially use it as a little bit of a sweetener, a bit of a carrot for some segments of his base. But I'll be very surprised if it's not desperate times that call for a release of the files. But we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think I'm in complete agreement, to be honest. Not much else to add. I feel like it's definitely not going to happen. They've got bigger fish to fry right now. but yeah, maybe if the, yeah, like you said, if the midterms aren't looking great, or if he needs more of a distraction from the other files, which he was mentioned 38,000 times, by the way, then possibly he'd release these just as a last ditch attempt to distract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty, the response is pretty wild though, isn't it? He's not supposed to be doing that.
I think it's interesting watching that video, because I think if I know anything about Trump, and I don't think anyone does, he's an enigma. But I think if you work on the assumption that he never in any given conversation really knows 100% what's going on, if you assume that, but you assume that he also hates Obama and everything that Obama does, I don't think he'd seen the thing that Obama like mentioned. I don't think he knew what he was talking about. All he basically came out of his mouth was, Obama shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be doing anything.
Yeah, Obama bad. Yeah.
Obama bad, arrest him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he really knows what he's talking about. He just wants to, like, get attention. And he will always say whatever gives him the most attention in any given span of time.
Yeah.
On a slightly different note, I also think that Obama, when he says, what's it called? And they say Area 51. Like, shut up. You know very well that room lake is Area 51. You know.
Yeah.
It's very, very well known that there's military activity going on there. Mm.
That was going to be my first question. Like, what do you think Obama's up to when in his response? Because pretending not to know Area 51. Like, come on,
I think he said about aliens, and then the reporter the interviewer is like, ooh, like there's a reaction, right? And he's thinking in his mind, how do I downplay this for in like the next few sentences to make this not blow up into story it doesn't need to be. That's my genuine thoughts. And then he overdid it, and then it looks a little bit disingenuous. he then undercooked it by saying about not knowing what Area 51 is, or forgetting.
And unintentionally looked even more deceptive.
Yes.
As a result.
Genuinely. Yeah.
But did you know what's...
Actually backtrack though, officially, didn't he? Later, he did a social media post which said... I don't know if you have this in front of you, Alex, if you want.
Oh, I've got it, yeah.
Oh, cool, go ahead.
Yeah, he posted on X saying, or actually, I don't know where he posted this, so it could be Blue Sky, I guess, but probably X. He said, I was trying to stick with the spirit of the speed round, But since it's gotten attention, let me clarify. Statistically, the universe is so vast that the odds are good there's life out there. But the distances between solar systems are so great that the chances we've been visited by aliens is low. And I saw no evidence during my presidency that extraterrestrials have made contact with us. Really. That's his response.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Do you know what I found mental, though, is the fact, like, okay, this was a speed round, whatever, but you're interviewing Obama and he says aliens exist with that level of confidence. You don't follow up with another question? Like, whoa, hang on. We'll finish the speed round, but let's go back to that. Like, he just moved, the interviewer, Tyler, what was his name again?
Brian Tyler Cohen, yeah.
Brian Tyler Cohen, just moved straight on. Move on to something else. Yeah. Mental. Insane.
I know. I mean, there might be a little bit of kind of nervousness and apprehension about interviewing.
Of course.
The former president, someone as, much of a big personality as Obama. So maybe he was so focused on his, like, script and getting through it and not going off piste. And I imagine there were aides of Obama's in the background tapping their watches of, oh, no, you've got X number of minutes.
Not doing the hand slice across the neck thing. Like, X nail.
So I imagine that might have played into it, but I think it's wild that Obama, even in a speed round, went there. That he went there. He was so not. He's often, he has like a kind of lackadaisical, calm, free flowing attitude, but he's very careful in what he says. Incredibly careful.
I was surprised too.
I found it mad that he actually even said that.
Yeah.
Like, just even, I mean, you might think it, but to even breach that topic, you would automatically know that that's going to cause people to go, What does he know? Like we're doing now.
Yeah. And particularly because, given the context, it's not like nothing was happening on February the 14th in American politics that was serious and worthy of weight. And surely he knew by responding that way, that was going to draw attention. So I'd have thought, I agree with you entirely. I think he normally is very careful in the way he speaks and would be aware that talking about aliens like that would draw attention away from perhaps the more serious things he wanted to talk about. I'll be honest, I have no idea what else he said in that interview. I can't remember a thing. I just remember the aliens. So,
but that demonstrates the problem, I guess, doesn't it? Yeah.
I'm a sucker. But I think no other president, and this goes back to what you were saying, Alex, I guess, no other president until that interview, I think, had ever been ever as candid about aliens, ever, until Trump afterwards was then like, no, I'm the most transparent, candid president, and then like release all the files. And I agree with you entirely, Alex. I think he, on the plane, when his immediate reaction was he shouldn't be saying that, it's classified, that was just a gut instinct of, you know, I've got to condemn Obama for anything and everything that he does. But it does raise a question that I never thought I would have about Trump, which is going back to when he was president the first time and we were doing the show that shall not be named and Stories from the Bunker podcast. We talked a lot about the fact that Trump, given his nature, if any president was going to confirm the existence of aliens and Area 51 and alien autopsy and stuff like that, it was going to be Trump because the man can't.
He was just
going to
do it
shut.
By mistake. Yeah,
either by mistake or for attention, he would do it. So the fact that, the fact that he still hasn't really said anything about aliens still makes me err on the side of the US government doesn't have any definitive proof. I'm not going to say aliens don't exist and they haven't interacted with the US government. I'm just going to say that the US government doesn't have definitive proof that Trump is aware of, that otherwise I think he would have shared it already. On the other hand, his response to Obama does suggest that there is something classified that even Trump knows about, that he needs
to be unclassified.
And that was going to be unclassified, yeah. Well, it's interesting because as well, in 2023, Biden, or the Biden administration, I should say, signed the UAP Transparency Act or something like that, which was about releasing UFO files. And that was part of that big wave they had between 2020 and 2024, I guess, of the Pentagon being suddenly very transparent and trying to resurrect or rekindled interest in UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. And I think it was probably done, because we talked about this before on the podcast, probably done in the interests of national defense, because some UAPs could be enemy aircraft.
Yeah,
not necessarily
aliens. Was that around the time when they literally had the whole like Chinese weather balloon
Yeah, of situation. Course. Yeah, yes. Biden. That was yeah, big story.
That
wasn't
probably
it?
Like amplified that whole thing as well, wanting people to keep an eye out for Chinese balloons going over.
But as far as I'm aware, nothing has come out of that 2023 act. Certainly, nothing that's been widely reported has come out of that. No files have been released that have really made a difference or revealed anything that wasn't revealed before. And I remember in 2021, and I've still got them on my computer, the CIA UFO files, you know, Project Blue Book and all that, were released in full. And I downloaded them. I've got a big folder on my computer, which one day I'll go through them. But that was 2021. So in 2023, the only things to release would be the secret and up-to-date stuff. And then, so if I remember correctly, it was back in, was it 2019? Trump was asked about aliens, and he said a very kind of, some people are interested in that, but I don't think they exist. That was his response. And it was around the time that they released those 2004, I think, videos from the jet planes that have been following UFOs. And Trump's reaction was really weird to them. It was just like, oh, that could be real. Oh, it's fake. I don't believe that's real. Like, it's weird that he's skeptical about aliens, is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's kind of all the things to be skeptical about.
I just feel like it doesn't affect him, so he doesn't care.
Right,
They could have literally briefed him on this and said, yes, sir, we are in contact with three extraterrestrial civilizations in deep contact. And they're like, do they support Trump? What are their opinions on Trump? Well, sir, they don't know about you specifically. they're more interested in humanity on a grand scale. If they don't care about Trump, then they don't care about them.
Extremely possible.
Give them the hats. They'll love the hats.
Do they have any real estate on Mars they're willing to sell? Trump on Mars. I like it. That's sadly credible, Alex.
Like, I just I can't even see him paying attention to the briefing.
he just falls asleep.
If it's not about him. Yeah.
Oh. Definitely do a good skit Trump being briefed about all sorts of things, can you?
Oh my gosh. So we're in this weird place, I think, at the moment with UFOs and aliens, where for the first time in decades, the US government is publicly taking them seriously and encouraging people to report them because they're concerned for national defense reasons. But at the same time, it feels like nothing is happening because they've got this whole department whose name is, it's one of those weird names. Let me just bring it up. And, the Aldermain Anomaly Resolution Office, whose job is to deliver annual reports on UFO sightings, basically, or UAP sightings. And you can go on their website and you can even watch videos and see the photos that have been submitted to them. And, you know, they're there. And they've got a little commentary note saying what they think they are or whether they think they're of merit. So what's interesting there is the level of transparency, which I think is unusual in the history of any kind of UFO research done by governments, but particularly for the US. On the other hand, surprise, surprise, you have to go quite far before they say anything other than, we don't think this is a UFO. We don't think this is anything. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
We have no evidence to think there's anything about this that's interesting. And you're like, you're watching it and you think, I know they're experts and they have all kinds of deep analysis, but some of them I'm like, what could that possibly be? Because some of the footage is coming from planes moving at supersonic speeds and you're like, how is that thing keeping pace? What the hell? So it's all a bit, it's a weird time, I think, if you're a ufologist. Maybe it's an exciting time, I don't know, we're not ufologists. So if anyone is listening or watching us who's a ufologist, let us know, is it an exciting time or is it a frustrating time?
It might actually be a really frustrating time with like AI and stuff as well. So like, because I remember coming across a post the other day where it was like it was like a UFO in the sky, but it had been, you know, it was unlike the ones that you would get back in the day that are completely blurry. It was like you saw it was like very in-depth and very detailed and clear and crisp. But what it actually was a blurry picture of a balloon in the sky, like you know, like a film clapperboard. It was like that, but a helium balloon. And it was, the original picture was very blurry, but then someone's ran it through AI to enhance it.
Wow.
And it's made this like mechanical thing in the sky. So it's like, oh, it's an alien, but it's not. It's just the AI has made it look like that from from a balloon.
I guess there's the old adage, and we printed it on T-shirts back in the day, but I want to believe, right? And with AI, in some ways, it's quite exciting for those who want to believe because they're seeing more detail than they ever have in the history of UFO hunting, right? Because they're getting these higher res images, like you say, Alex, that's kind of being put through AI. And it's giving ufologists maybe what they want to some extent, which is more information, more details, more to talk about rather than a cigar or something that looks like a pen lid, blurry pen lid in the sky. So I mean, that's kind of exciting if you're someone who is open to believing and you want to believe that the aliens are among us. So I mean, that could be quite fun. But at the same time, I think with everything, even with with what's going on now in the Middle East, like you see the bombing of cities and it's like, oh no, that's actually AI, although there are bombs, but it's not what that looks like. It's actually something else. You know, it's like sometimes they can be telling a narrative that's true, but it's been dialed up to 11. Right. Which might be the same for aliens. They might exist, but actually, you know, they're needlessly enhancing sightings of aliens through AI. Maybe.
Would you like to know what some scientists think?
No.
Okay.
Well, we're sick of experts.
We want to speculate.
Well, they're people of note and some scientists. So Sean Kirkpatrick, who was the first director of this Department of All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office at the DOD, said in response to Trump's announcement of declassifying the files, said, there are going to be unsatisfied people. You're going to have a bunch of people who are going to continue to cry conspiracy. They're going to say there's a cover-up. It's all a distraction for the administration. He said, nothing would have made me happier when I had that job but to have discovered alien technology and rolled it out. I don't expect to see anything new in the files. However, the probability that extraterrestrial intelligent life is here, in the universe somewhere, is high, but is on Earth, little to none. And then Federica Bianco from NASA, who's an associate professor at the University of Delaware, said, the probability that we are the only life form or even the only technical society in the universe is negligibly small. But I haven't seen anything that indicates we have observed phenomena that violate the laws of physics and require an alien society visiting us to be explained. And she's a member of the NASA UAP panel. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson, who we all know and probably love, said pretty much the same thing. He went a bit further, actually, and said that ordinary people, are just too unfamiliar with scientific phenomena. Climatic events, I think, was one thing he listed. Optical illusions and astronomical phenomena, that they too readily go to the explanation of, oh, it's aliens, in order to rationalize what they're looking at. And he said, once you know a bit more, it's obvious that these things aren't extraterrestrials. But of course, he could be part of the cover-up. I mean, that's the gist of it. There's a bunch of other scientists, you know, kind of quotes here, that, and they're all saying the same thing. They all agree that there's alien life. Most of them seem to agree that there's probably intelligent alien life. All of them say it hasn't come to us yet. And I think it's kind of important to trust their judgment when it comes to their opinion of the evidence that we have, that people cite, I should say, as being evidence of aliens flying through the air or around Earth. There's still those theories that I love to contemplate of aliens do know we're here. They drop in from time to time and they're like, let's wait a bit. Let's give it some time. Give it another 20 minutes in the oven before it's ready. You know, or I mean, right now, if I were an alien coming to Earth, I'd be like, oh my goodness, let's wait for the next intelligent life to emerge on this planet. let's wait for the dolphins to take over.
Yeah, they say they're intelligent, but I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Or maybe they are behind the scenes. They are the lizards, you know, leading all this destruction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ayatollah, If ever
humanity gets to the point where the big red button is pushed, maybe they'll just stop them all in the air and be like, come on, guys, what are you doing? Oh, we didn't want to have to do this, but we're going to intervene.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice idea.
Come on, stop it now, you idiots.
Tell that to Trump and he might actually push the button and start the whole thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a dangerous way of thinking, isn't it? No one's going to save us.
Risk that.
Also, I hate, just to be jokey, I hate to make fun of people's appearance because I'm not exactly Captain America, but if any world leader is going to be a lizard in disguise...
Captain America, are you?
Thank you. Well, from the neck down, definitely not.
You're like a British Steve Rogers. Yeah, I see it.
Yep, bad teeth and no muscles. But if all the world leaders... Trump at the moment, I mean, with the weird scarring on his neck and the orange face that stops at his jawline and the weird comb over and the rotting hand, I'm like, that's an alien in disguise, right? That's a human skin suit that's just past its sell-by date. Come on. There's got to be something going on inside. Also, how is a man like that still active and remotely healthy and alive? You know, given the diet he has, there's some kind of machine processing going on there. That's just fuel for the robot that he eats.
You know that, like, when he gets onto Air Force One, they're like, sir, what do you want for dinner this evening? And he's like, sugar, water.
Just that's where eating the kids comes in. Keeps him young.
Pizza. That's true,
all over again. Yeah.
So, okay, I want to ask you both, because it's been a while and, you know, opinions can change.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the expert opinions. What's your current thoughts on aliens? Put you both on the spot. Have they visited us?
Is it really boring to agree with the scientists here and be like, yeah, they exist. I don't think they visited Earth. Because that is the boring answer. But I think it's also the most likely. Yeah. Statistically, it's the most likely, right?
Yeah, we're big fans of statistics. Yeah, massively.
So that would be my answer. But, I mean, I do agree that if there were aliens and someone had this someone was stupid enough to let Trump know, he would have blurted out by now.
Mm.
Like, I found them. I found the aliens. They're my aliens. I keep them.
And they love Trump.
They'll come out with the caps on, make America great again. Caps is aliens.
Yeah. Make aliens great again. Yeah.
Look, they're great. I'm good. We're all friends here.
Make America grey aliens. That's it. That's what it stands for. Yeah,
I
agree.
A Trump Hotel in Alpha Centauri. We're going to have a big, beautiful space station.
They're going to call it Alpha Trumptori now. Yeah, it's
that's too smart for Trump. He wouldn't.
I agree with Martin. I think the scientists sadly have called it correctly on this one.
Yeah, fair. So you agree with Obama?
Yes.
I imagine so. Yep. Although I don't agree that he doesn't know that he forgot what Area 50 was.
Oh yeah, that's a come on.
That's come on. Nonsense.
Okay, so based on that, I think I'm in agreement with you guys, to be honest. But based on that, what do you think is the craziest thing that could be released from these UFO UAP files? Because I'm always interested by the idea that like when did the SR-71 Blackbird come out? Wasn't that like the 1970s? That like I'm just thinking, what is the like current crazy airplane space technology they have behind closed doors? Do they have anything? You know,
that's a good point.
Most likely it's going to be a drone, isn't it? Because without a human pilot, you can make an aircraft do stuff that would, like, the g-force would knock a human out, but with no human pilot, the
supersonic drone.
So I bet there's some drones that can probably do some really amazing maneuvers that human pilots aren't capable of doing for safety reasons. And they're probably the top secret things that maybe we've seen some video footage of or seen, heard reports of being seen in US airspace at the very least. I would, yeah, I bet there's some crazy drones out there that could do some scary and amazing things. And, but then the question is, would they ever declassify that stuff? I bet they would, just like with the other files, they would have a reason for redacting those things.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm just, I feel like there's got to be something like that behind.
Yeah, and the, like, the integration, what's the integration of AI into drones as well. Yeah. I imagine that there's a lot of going on there in terms of them being able to automatically identify enemy targets and attack without there needing to necessarily be the same kind of human controls in place.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what the whole discussion over the last week's been with Anthropic and ChatGPT making deals with the government so they can have military applications and things for the AIs. It's it's okay. That's probably fine, right? That's probably fine.
on that note, and just to get political for a second, I do think that's like the
because greatest... we've avoided it so well.
Yeah, we've been so good. I do think the Anthropic thing in America is the best example of exactly the great hypocrisy and irony of American politics that up until now has always been wibbly wobbly ish enough that it's easy for voters to look past it, which is the fact that the party, i.e. the Republicans, that repeatedly gets voted into government by the people who are all about get the government off my backs, are the ones who do this kind of stuff, which is we're going to take AI and use it for military applications and take this private company and make it do evil government stuff. And it's like this is a great example, I think, of that's what the Republicans always do, but because it's the Trump administration, they always take it to the extreme and do it very publicly. And it's just fascinating to me that people always vote for their own or against their own interests when it comes to Western politics, it seems. But that crowd in particular, who are all about, I'm pro-Republican because I'm pro-small government and want those evildoers off my back. It's always the Republicans who do that.
The mental gymnastics to justify it,
To be fair, and I'm not completely disagreeing with you, Robin, but like for this particular instance, do you think that the Democrats, if Kamala was in power at the moment, I kind of feel like they would also be doing something similar with AI companies. Like other countries around the world are kind of doing this sort of, like, investing big in it.
Yeah, and it's like the NSA spying on its own people. That was going on under Obama, and he wasn't stopping it until it became... Actually, did he even stop it? It got public. Did he stop it?
It got public. No, they just wanted to kill Edward Snowden.
So, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I'm not saying the Democrats are necessarily better, but they don't campaign on that
platform. Like I see what you mean, yeah. Yeah, they don't lie about, like, deregulation. I see what you mean.
Thank you, fellas. That was a fun and hopefully interesting conversation for all of our listeners to enjoy.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Speaking of whom, are there any comments that you'd like to respond to? Highlight from recent weeks since our last two-hander of psychic predictions.
I've got a comment.
Do it.
This was on our last podcast, which was 2026 predictions, and this was about one of Nostradamus's predictions that he made, and I think it was something about like there would be three fires or something. I can't actually remember what the actual one was, but Leash Canada, welcome back to the channel. Thank you. I remember you. Said Nostradamus interpretation. Mars, the planet, can currently be seen in the skies over the east. If China launches three fires, nukes or missiles from the east over to the west, causing blood to rain down over sanctuary. Not sure where that would be, though. Not the US, that's for sure. Hopefully not Canada. Then the West would lose its light in silence because of blackouts, destruction of power grids. The West would be silent either in death or because they'd have no way to communicate with the outside world without power, internet. Let's hope that doesn't come true. Fantastic analysis. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of analysis that we probably should have tried to do when we read it out. That's very, very well analyzed. And yeah, hopefully that doesn't come true. I don't think that sounds like something China has up its sleeve for this year anyway.
No.
This year. What's the...
maybe what's next year.
What's the term that's... It's to the words of... don't interrupt your enemy when they're
making a mistake. Yeah. I was about to say, I have a lot of respect in China to wait and see. That's always what they're about. Like, let's just see where everyone lands after this chaos, and then we'll do what we need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I mean. Just to get serious for a moment, that's the concern over Taiwan, isn't it? This emerging news that America is using up its stockpiles of missiles, which means the deterrent they've had to protect places like Taiwan from Chinese interests is disappearing. And so all China has to do is like, well, we'll wait until you have no missiles and then we'll go and take Taiwan. Thank you very much. Anyway, you got a comment, Martin?
Yeah, which comment were you going to do, Rob? So I don't want to step on your toes.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking of Pazuzu Demon Boy 666 or whatever their name is.
Okay, well, I've got one from Goksokin DK. And they write that the great swarm of bees arising could be a massive drone attack, which we're seeing a lot of in Ukraine. We've seen some of that actually in the Middle East as well, haven't we? Regarding the ambush, it could be an upcoming attack against a new target in country. And this was a few weeks ago. So
it was before the Iran thing.
A continuation of the drone. I mean, yeah, there've been used loads in warfare, haven't they?
It's not just drones though, isn't it? It's missile defense systems to take down the ballistic missile. Is it ballistic missiles? But the missiles that Iran is shooting out, the defense systems involve lots of other missiles to take them down.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And then you've got the drones as well. So yeah, swarms of bees like that.
Swarms of bees.
Scary.
Nostradamus, you've done it again.
That's when we thought, what the hell are you talking about with bees?
Bees? What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
of course. Swarm of drones. Yeah, makes sense.
How do we not think about this? Well, hopefully on an amusing one to end on. Pazuzu Boy 666 says, I almost spilled my ginger tea all over my desktop when I saw the notification only 4 days after the last one. A prediction for 2026 that you guys will post way more often? Thank you for such a nice surprise.
Oh, so nice.
Lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, glad you were pleased by our double publication the other week. And I guess technically this is more often. we've done that.
So far, so good.
Within a month, that's pretty good.
We'll just keep the momentum.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening, for joining me, and especially to Martin and Alex for chatting about UFOs for a bit. It's been fun. And hopefully you've learned something a little interesting from this episode. And we shall see you next time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.